Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your host, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on a spectacular December 10th down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We're at 13th and Central, right across from the Trop. We've got our holiday festive look down here on the set as we're just 2 weeks away from Christmas Eve. Of course, we're brought to you by Ice Pick Vodka and our friends at Sea Dogs. We've got some great sponsors in Big Storm Brewing, Shrimpies, Body Armor. I just want a shout out this year. 2023 looks very bright for us. We've got some exciting news. I will break it. We will be on two stations next week up in the panhandle. We'll be not the panhandle. We'll be up a little further. We'll be in Lake City carrying into Gainesville and in Lake City. So we'll be loud and proud up there. That'll be expanding us to nine affiliates.
Nine affiliates. That's pretty good, Mike. Not too shabby.
Not too bad shabby coming from a podcast 2 years ago with one mic and two mics, the mic and the mic, and not very many guests, and not that I've improved, but we certainly have gotten through our teamwork and all the people that we reach out to. We've been very, very blessed. All right, let's got a little factoid, a little fun factoid that has a Christmas winter theme.
Yeah, so, you know.
What do you know about winter, though?
We don't know much about winter down here.
Not one of the three of you. She knows a little bit.
Yeah.
North Carolina has a little dusting once in a while.
They can catch some snow, but somebody who was seeing a lot of snow is, of course, Padres ace Joe Musgrove, who threw the fastest pitch on the coldest continent, Antarctica, on his 30th birthday. He threw a record 86-mile-per-hour fastball in Antarctica for the Challenged Athlete Foundation. So he invited Landon Sims, a 16-year-old who was born without arms and lower legs, and brought him out there as, like, you know, kind of raise awareness for the foundation, raise some money, and even had him throw a couple pitches out there, breaking 44 miles an hour. So it was really cool to see him out there. They spent 5 months simply applying for permits just to be able to throw a pitch in Antarctica. That's how difficult it was.
God bless him. And I got to ask this question. You know, when you may not have ever experienced this, when it's really cold and you breathe, obviously you can see your breath, right?
Yeah. I've experienced
that. I wonder if you could see that ball with some steam behind it. Now, I don't know anything about the science of that, but that's just a BS statement.
But it kind of shows he's a stand-up guy.
Absolutely.
Doing a really good thing. So good on Joe Musgrove, raising some money for a really good cause and, of course, breaking a world record.
In this hour, we're going to talk to Pete Young. He's the athletic director of the Jesuit Tigers. We just got done talking to the Largo Packers and five of their young men and their head coach. So that'll be our prep connection. And then we're going to talk a little bit here with Brad Richardson from a prep connection perspective. And then going to have a lot of fun. Peter Gollenbach's going to make an appearance, and these two.
We'll have our fun.
Ben Baseball Botham. We'll talk about the hot stove and what's going on. And Ray Kennedy said he's going to make an appearance, but he's a tough guy to get his arms around him on a Saturday with his family, so we may not, but we can talk a little Bucks too. But let's talk a little of NFL football tomorrow. Obviously, very quiet down here at Ferg from a college football perspective. You got plenty of college basketball on any screen. If you come down and you want to watch a game, we've got the Army-Navy game, which is the only game in town right now, and that's a superb.
Who do you got, Mike, Army or Navy?
I'm a Navy guy.
Navy guy, all right.
Yeah, because the guys that fly, I'm more of a Navy guy.
All right, I'll ride there with you. I'll stick with the Navy then.
All right, well, I have to sit there and vote. I have to support Navy. I mean, because bottom line, my dad's a veteran, so the Navy
there
guy.
You go. Absolutely. Yeah, you better.
That's the allegiance there.
Yeah, precisely. All right, let's talk about the he's not answering. We got plenty to talk about. Let's let's talk about the games, the NFL games down here tomorrow. And it's getting, you know, it's week 14 in the 14. NFL.
Yeah, so, of course, all the fantasy is starting to wrap up right now. Everyone's in their playoffs trying to stay out of the toilet bowl. So right now we got the Eagles versus the Giants, Bills versus Jets, Bengals versus Browns, Cowboys versus Texans, 49ers versus the old Buckaroos here, and that's going to be an interesting game, Mike. You think the Bucks pull out a win there?
I would like to say so, because if you take a look at the Niners, they've got Josh Purdy at quarterback. He's an Iowa State grad. And Jimmy G went down for the season
With a broken foot. That's a tough one.
That's a tough one. And Purdy, who is a gamer, he's an athlete. He was the last pick in the draft 2 years ago. He's from Arizona, but he looked really composed last week. He's always looked composed. They have so many elements around him at the San Francisco 49ers that it may be tough. And I just don't, even though they had success on Monday Night Football, and it's fabulous and a great comeback, 17-16, this team just still doesn't seem to be.
They don't have that.
They don't have that cohesiveness all game. And they're not on the same page.
Absolutely not. They don't. They just can't seem to get that spark in them again. And I know you're not a huge fantasy guy here, Mike, but I got a question for you.
I know how to play it.
I have Tom Brady and I have Daniel Jones. Who do I play in that in that scenario? Because the Bucks aren't looking that great.
Who are the Giants playing?
The Giants are playing the Eagles, and that's why.
Got a tough defense, and that is a very, very important game for the Giants from a playoff perspective. And I will tell you, stay away from it. Go Brady.
Go Brady.
Because Brady's going home. That's where he was brought up. There's conversation, you know, he's a free agent next year, and that Brady, he's going to want to put on one heck of a show on tomorrow, because there's a lot of conversation, and Eddie DiBartolo, he's got a lot of tentacles down here in the family down here in the Tampa area. I could see him ended up with the 49ers. So throw him on your fantasy team.
That's kind of where I was leaning.
How's that for advice?
That was good. I like
it. I don't need to know about fantasy football, but I can break down the reasons.
I like it. I'm all for it.
So baseball, you help me with baseball. From now on, just call me, and I'll let you know who to throw on your team, your starting lineup.
Hopefully you give me the win here this week, Mike. But the next game we have is the Lions versus the Vikings. Probably a big Vikings win there. Titans versus Jaguars. Steelers versus Ravens. Chiefs versus Broncos. Seahawks versus Panthers, and Dolphins versus Chargers, and of course Monday night, Patriots versus Cardinals.
Hey, did you hear any of those kids when I asked them, I'd forgotten what their favorite teams were, and there's five kids sitting here, and not one was a Bucks fan. And one kid got, well, I fan of the Bucks. He goes, they're trash. I said, okie dokie, how do you really feel?
Yeah, the Bucks, they're definitely struggling a little bit. Not as much as the old Panthers are. They, you know, of course, cut Baker Mayfield, and he recently just signed with the Rams.
On Thursday Night Football?
No.
Oh my God, Baker Mayfield Thursday night. He'd been in camp 2 days. I'm not a Baker Mayfield fan. I think he's a smug. He was overrated. I liked his competitiveness and fire at Oklahoma. But and everything that happened at Cleveland was not his fault. However, on Thursday Night Football, 2 days he was in camp. He didn't have the playbook before, and he with I think there was 3 minutes left. They were down 16-3, and he came back, and they scored with 10 seconds left, all driven by Baker Mayfield. He had a career game, basically, and he's back on the map.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why he did so poorly with Carolina.
Some of it had to do with the organizations.
Sure, but you gotta think that first game of the season.
And they had Christian McCaffrey when he was there still.
Exactly. Maybe he just didn't want to be there, but just something didn't click there in Carolina, because I thought that he was going to be a star over there. I really thought Carolina was going to have a good shot at being the best team in the division there, and obviously that might have been the most wrong I've been on this show.
Well, and you know, weren't the only one. I mean, the talking heads, the pundits, the experts, they all thought the same thing. I think it's a quarterback hex It's kind of like the Bears have had for years, and they finally might have found their quarterback. They just can't get a quarterback. The Giants had the same problem. The Jets had the same problem. And I think that was the issue with the Panthers. They haven't found anybody, and they've got Sam Darnold, who was supposed to be all everything. He got booted from the Jets, and it's just not a wasn't a healthy environment. And he's kind of a Hollywood guy. He's done all those commercials.
Yeah,
he can be right at home, and you kind of like him.
I kind of like the commercials. I thought they were funny.
Commercials were hilarious.
He's walking around the stadium. He's like, oh, I can turn on the lights. Got to mow the lawn. Got to do this. Just absolutely hilarious. I liked him.
Well, Al Michaels said, I can't think that SoFi is the stadium there in L.A. He said, well, now he'll be shacking up at SoFi Stadium. Much nicer digs than in Cleveland.
It certainly is. I remember my first football game I ever went to was up in Cleveland at for the Browns. And that was the first time I ever.
It's the first time you went to a game?
I went with my mom because my mom's from Cleveland.
Oh, okay.
So I went up there. And that was the first time I ever saw somebody pass out drunk. And there were like people before the game even started. We were walking
more than one.
And just people just passed out. I'm like, Mom, what's going on over here? And, you know, I was like, that's what it's like in Cleveland.
That's their MO. Because no offense to your lovely mom. Cleveland sucks.
The mistake by the lake.
Oh, my God. I did a lot of business there. I couldn't wait to get the hell out of town. And their ownership has been pathetic for years with the Cleveland Browns, and it's sad because the fans are, you know, they're crazy.
Yeah, they definitely are. I don't know what
they need success.
It's definitely tough up there, and you know, having Deshaun Watson up there now too. It's how do you sell a jersey to a to young kids wearing that? It's really tough sell. So I don't know where they go from here.
That was one of the stupidest move a franchise could have made.
And they didn't have a single offensive touchdown that game.
No,
it was all defensive. They would have lost that game if it wasn't for the defense. Unbelievable.
And he looked horrible. There's Peter Gall back and his lovely bride, Wendy. And, Peter will be on here in about 12 minutes. We'll be talking, hot stove.
There you go.
Mr. Historian. And maybe Brad knows this well too. What is the term hot stove? Where'd that come from?
I didn't
Google it because I expected baseball Ben Botham to know. And maybe don't Google it.
He's on his phone.
No, we don't want him Googling.
All right, because
we're bringing Peter Gallenbach, who does know a lot in the world.
I do have some other trivia questions, though, for you, Mike, if you want to go over some.
We'll save those when we get done with Gallenbach, because we did get a hold of Peter Young, and he's on right now. He's over there at the Jesuit Tiger Athletic Department, of course, a powerhouse in the Tampa Bay area, and he's kind enough to take some time on a busy, almost holiday Saturday afternoon with me. How are you, Pete?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me on. I'm sorry I was a little late there.
No, don't worry. It's great to catch back up with you. So let's talk about the fall season. Obviously, football is always the focal point. Let's talk about another superb season. It, of course, not the same results as 2021. However, that's tough to duplicate in many cases. But your future is so bright. You guys got to wear shades over there with your youth.
Well, it was a great fall for the sports teams at Jesuit. We're actually well into the winter sports season already. Also, I'm going to be heading over to Jesuit shortly. Their basketball team is playing this afternoon. They're undefeated at 6-0, and they're playing Leto High, which is 7-0. So it should be a great matchup there today. But looking back at the fall sports season, we had a swim team that finished as state runner-up, and the 200 freestyle relay actually won the state championship and had an All-America time and set a school record. We had golfer Drew Campbell, who had an outstanding season. Cross-country under a new head coach, Mike Phillips, is really doing some great things as well. So we did have a great fall sports season, and the football team was coming off the state championship season, of course, the famed, epic first state championship since 1968 that they won last year, and had a very good season and reached the state semifinal again for the fifth straight year, and it's the seventh time in 8 years, but we went down to St. Thomas Aquinas last weekend and ran into a buzzsaw. They took care of us pretty handily. They're again ranked in the top 10 nationally, and they're going to play next week for the state championship. It's going to be an all South Florida affair there. And what is Class 3M, all the new classifications that the FHSAA has now for football. So it's Class 3M, which is 3 Metro. That'll be St. Thomas Aquinas against Homestead. And so state semifinal again, another good season, graduating a few stellar, outstanding season seniors. One of the great careers in Jesuit football history, Joquez Smith, the running back. He finished with just over 5,000 yards rushing and 75 touchdowns.
Oh, my God. Where's that young man headed? Does he know yet?
He's going to sign with Temple. We'll have a couple other guys signing, too. The Temple Owls. Yep, right out of Philadelphia. Which would be a great place for him.
We know some coaches, one named Bruce Arians, that started his career there.
Right, and of course, Todd Bowles, the Bucs coach, played for Temple University for Bruce Arians there, right? And Todd's son Troy is also a senior at Jesuit this year, and Troy has been a great player. He's been a national recruit. He had several interception returns for touchdowns this year, and he is headed to Georgia. So obviously, they're trying to defend their national title here in the next few weeks, and then he'll be joining them for next season.
Outstanding defensive back, wasn't he, Pete?
He was a linebacker for most of his career. He is, I believe, projecting as a linebacker in college, but he played almost his entire season at safety.
He's
fast enough, and he could really play anywhere, to be honest with you. He could literally play all 22 positions and do really well at them.
Yeah, and the fact that he's going to Georgia gives you an indication that he is one of the best in the country. So let's talk about real quickly. How impressed I have gotten now, getting embedded in here in the high school scene, on the level of high school football, and your accomplishment last year, and you've got some more in you, obviously, is this program. Winning a state championship in Florida is unbelievably brutal, and I look at Clearwater getting just, I hate to use the term, but spanked by Chaminade or to Jacksonville. I just had the Largo kids on who had a superb season. I asked them one of the highlights, and one of the kids said Jesuit, and I looked over at Coach Marcus Pascal, and his eyes got big. Well, he explained. He said, "Hey, I had 9 tackles and an interception." I said, "Well, bravo." I said, "To have that kind of date against a program like Jesuit says a lot about your athleticism."
Right. Yeah, Jesuit and Largo played in the region final at Jesuit. A few weeks ago, and it was a 3-0 game at halftime. It was an absolute dogfight. And then Jesuit got some big plays there in the second half and pulled away to what ended up being a relatively easy victory, but it was an absolute dogfight for half of football where neither offense could generate anything because the defenses were just that good.
Let me ask you this. I think I got this right. Your quarterback a sophomore? A freshman.
He is a freshman. Yes.
Oh my
God. His name is Will Griffin. There is nothing about him that seems like a freshman. He's very experienced for one thing. He played varsity football as an 8th grader last year at Northside Christian. Played a full season. Then he came to Jesuit this year as a freshman, and he took over in week 4 as a starter. So he's had 10 games. As a starter, and he is about 6'2", 6'3", about 215, 220, and he looks like a grown man, and he acts like a grown man, and he's already generating a lot of recruiting attention, as you might imagine. He got an offer from Florida State this week.
As a freshman. I saw an interview that he had, and he's very composed. And like you said, he doesn't act like, what is he, 15? 15?
Yeah, he's 15 years old. Yeah. way beyond his years in every way.
Well, he must have a pretty impressive pedigree from a family perspective, genetically, to have that kind of composure, that kind of ability at that age.
Sure, yeah.
Near and dear to my heart is cross country and track. I participated 1,000 years ago collegiately at Western Kentucky, so I always like to ask about cross country teams. And I'd like to get those kids on sometime if they're up to it, because we're going to start promoting more of the boys and the girls, and not just the marquee sports. But talk about what the job he's doing, turning things around.
Well, I'll tell you what. Certainly, we've got track season coming up right now. They're going to get started here in the next few weeks, right after break. And I know they're expecting to have another really good season. They've won the. I want to get it right. They did win the region last year, so they won the Tampa Bay Championships and they won the region. They did not win the district, actually, but then they went on to win the region. So they have a lot of good athletes across the board in all the events. I mean, we had a really good javelin thrower last year. That's a new event, just developed in the last few years in Florida. But they've good sprinters, good distance guys, good middle distance guys, a lot of good pole vaulters. Actually, Jesuit has a great history.
You got pole vaulters, you got javelin throwers.
Mike. Whatever you need, we've got it.
Well, yeah, but the bottom line in that is, as a track team, is they score points. The other schools aren't scoring points because they don't typically they don't have anybody that can do that. So, bravo! Right. They'll win a lot of team invitationals that way.
Yeah. The history of the pole vault at Jesuit has just been phenomenal. There was a young man who won a state championship a few years ago named Nick Ketcher. And then 2 years ago, the COVID year, there was a pole vaulter named Anson Rowe who looked like he had a great shot at winning the state championship, and obviously that was canceled that year. And then we have another great pole vaulter, Oscar Lau, coming back for next year. So there's really actually been a lineage of the sport at Jesuit. Lots of kids on the team, and they push each other. Yeah, so they've been doing really well. But I am going to talk to our track and field coach about coming on your show. He'll enjoy it. It's Andy Wood, and he's been head coach at Jesuit for about 10 years for track and field, and he's an alum. He graduated from the school in 1992. So I'll talk to him about that, and we'll make that happen.
All right, my man. And the basketball team, you're going to the game today. I know a lot of football powers typically don't have the strength in the basketball program as they do in football. Sounds like you guys certainly are starting out that way.
We've had one of the all-time great coaches at Jesuit for the last 36 years. This is his 36th or 37th year, Neil Goldman. He looks about 36 or 37 years old. The guy has found the fountain of youth. But they're going to have another good team this year. They reached the state tournament 2 years ago and last won a state championship in 2013, and that was one of the all-time great teams in Tampa Bay area history, and we're going to celebrate that team, actually. We've got a great tournament lined up for December 27th, 28th, 29th. It's the first inaugural Cookie Garcia Jesuit Invitational, and there's going to be 7 other Jesuit schools from around the country participating. And on, I believe, the first night, on the 27th, we're going to recognize the 10-year anniversary of that 2013 state championship basketball team. So there is a lot of good history there. And the team this year is off to a great start. They have some really good, aggressive, athletic guards, Nate Boachi and Chris Moliere, who are playing really well. And we've got a few big guys, too. So it's a really well-balanced team. Should be a great game today. I'm actually really looking forward to it. I'm going to head over there after we get off the phone here.
Well, a great program. I applaud you. I follow you closely. Being an old man that went to a Catholic school, I run into a lot of people. And by the way, at the Florida Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, early November, November 2nd, I did my show live from there. And
oh, great.
I bumped into Leonard George.
Oh, wow. Did you really? That's amazing.
Had him on the air. What a great guy.
Yeah.
I was over there, when you guys had the deal at the Tampa Theater, and that was a thrill. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed. And and what's the Italian guy's name that played there? And he's a good friend of Leonard George. He's a great guy. He's still coaching the Tampa at Jesuit.
Is it Bob Piccirilli?
Yeah, what a great guy. He was on the show too. And
Mike, Bob Piccirilli is our pole vault coach.
Yeah, he told me that. Yep. I love that guy. So make sure he's part of them when they come over.
We're gonna get the track coaches on. We'll get Bob and we'll get Andy Wood, and you guys can talk some track and field. It'll be awesome.
All right. I'll just turn it over to Bob. He could talk the whole show.
He has, great. Yeah. Well, he knows the football history for sure, too. He's done a lot of football coaching, but he's presided over that pole vault dynasty for the last many years. So he'll be a great person to talk to about that.
Well, I look forward to that. I appreciate you taking time on a busy Saturday. Go Tigers today, and have a very Merry Christmas, man.
Mike, thanks so much. Thanks for letting me on and talking Jesuit athletics. It's something I could talk about all day. Obviously, the school is really blessed to have great programs across the board. And I thank you and what you do for giving schools like us. And you mentioned Largo earlier, and I know you have a lot of other schools on. So thanks for giving us the platform to talk about it.
Well, we're going to do a lot more. High school sports needs more. And even the schools, you guys get a lot of coverage, but the Gibbs, and I had King over this year, and I had Sickles over. Those guys just need as much love and attention because they're working just as hard. They just don't have the resources.
Sure. Sickles has become a great baseball rival of ours. Their team has become really, really good. And we're going to have two of the best teams in the county next year, Sickles and Jesuit.
Good. And I can't wait to get Coach Menendez on again. He was a blast. All right, man. Have a great Saturday.
Thanks so much, Mike. Merry Christmas.
You too. All right, we'll take a break here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. When we come back, talk to Peter Gollenbach and Ben Botham, and then Brad Richardson and I will close the show out, and we will talk high school sports as we wind down on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
Halftime's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Rays Bucks and Lightning watch parties, every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Champa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Visit RadioSaintPete.com for a great variety of local audio programs, live coverage of local events, award-winning syndicated radio programs, over 800 Tampa Bay musicians, and of course, local sports coverage. Download the free Radio St. Pete apps or find RadioSaintPete.com on your enabled speakers. RadioSaintPete.com is where local music lives.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. What a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season. The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Pulling out all the stops in the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. I'm Mike Rickard, across from baseball, Ben Botham, and we've brought into the conversation some wisdom, knowledge, and decades of covering the great game of baseball. And, of course, he is Peter Gollenbach, author of too many books for me to recount. He's been on often, and we're very blessed. And this is brought to you by Sea Dogs and Ice Pick Vodka. And then, of course, our good friends at Body Armor supported us with that conversation with Peter Young. And we are live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving 30 years, unbelievable, serving Champa Bay And we're very blessed to have Mark Ferguson in our corner. Every day there's something exciting going on down here. Next week it'll be the official Christmas show. We will have Santa. We've got his elf. I've got another Santa coming down. It'll be a real festive environment. So bring the family down. Be out back with the pirate ship and bring your dog. We got a dog park and always something going on. And as Peter Gallenbach always says, that Mark Ferguson is one of the greatest businessmen, but he's more of a P.T. Barnum with everything he's got going on, don't you think? He's a promoter, man.
Well, Ferg started out as a gas station.
Exactly.
You know, it had two pumps. And Mark took over 30 years ago, and he has transformed this place into its own town.
What was the name of that department store for years down here? Webb's?
Web City.
Web City.
Yes.
He reminds me of that guy. I did the history on Webb, and I said that to Mark one day and Sherry. I said, you've replaced Webb down here in downtown St. Pete. Because you just keep growing and adding all kinds of stuff. Pirate ship. I mean,
he figured out that eventually we would have a baseball team. So he bought this place because he knew eventually he would be right next to the baseball stadium. And he was absolutely right.
Spot on.
Nobody has benefited from the Tampa Bay Rays more than Mark Ferguson has.
And the timing has been superb. You know, he did have his couple-year run with the Lightning, and they set some records over there, and they had a great arena football team that everybody was on the bandwagon. But now, with this looming, pending decision on keeping the park right over here, Mark Ferguson wins again.
Mark wins again.
And bravo.
And so do we.
And it's it's good for me. I got an office here as long. Well, I see you. You're spry and young and still. I've got a few years left in the old tank, so I'm looking forward to it as well.
We used to be season tickets until the Rays decided we're not making enough money selling season tickets, so let's make people members and really soak them good this year. So we're soaked members of the Rays.
Members?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, members.
It was very confusing because I was looking at it. They kind of sucker you in with like a $500 credit.
Well,
how it works?
You can come in as a $500 or $2,000 or $10,000 or $20,000.
What a money grab.
Oh, yeah.
And there's what is this? Maybe 7,000? No. How many season ticket holders are there?
Start with this. We do 16,000-17,000 fans per game, and we have a very nice fandom here in St. Petersburg.
No, I'm not negative. I was going to make a statement on how many season tickets.
There are no season ticket holders anymore.
How many members?
Members.
I wonder how many.
Members. You'll have to ask them. I don't know. We got members.
All right. Now, speaking of members, we just got a new member to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
We did.
From here.
One of ours. It took him a while. It's just he had such a sort of a downer disposition. We're talking about Fred McGriff, who was our first baseman for a bunch of years. A wonderful player. Ended up hitting 497 home runs.
Oh, my.
The problem was that the clincher to getting into the hall was hitting 500. So he was three home runs short, which cost him about 15 years of not getting in.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it absolutely did. Also, his moroseness did him in too. He was not a fun guy to be around.
Well, I've heard that, but I won't belabor that point. We talked about it a little bit earlier. So let's talk about. First off, we have a question for you. Do you know where the term "hot stove" came from? What is that?
Yeah. Well, sure, the hot stove league, of course. During the winter, several guys would sit over a hot stove, you know, and put their hands in. Freezing cold and talk baseball.
Okay. Well, we were going to Google it.
That's where you do it.
A little breaking news. Kevin Kiermaier has just signed with the Blue Jays.
Really?
Okay.
Think that would be a good fit for him? They got so much young talent. He'd be a good leader in the clubhouse.
One of their star players just signed with Hernandez. Who did he sign with? He just signed for like millions and millions of dollars.
Well, they all are. It's an unbelievable rampage of
Toronto needs an outfielder, and Kiermaier is a fine outfielder. He really is. And he can go out and get him. He can't hit more than 230, but still.
Well, they got the bats in that lineup to make up for that.
That's right.
I think
that's a good sign by Toronto.
Yeah, it's a good pickup. So what do you think about some of the other names on the ballot? We had Don Mattingly, Curt Schilling, Dale Murphy, and of course,
Curt will never get in.
Your buddy, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and Rafael Palmeiro.
Well, all the people who should have gotten in didn't. I mean, you can make a case literally for every one of the people you mentioned.
Okay. I do think Don Mattingly will certainly get in.
Mattingly's problem is that he never played on a team that went to the World Series.
Very true.
The year before he became a Yankee, they went to the World Series. The year after he quit, they went to the World Series. Never in the World Series. The other problem was that about two-thirds of the way through Don's career, he got hurt. And so he had some really two or three or four really spectacular years. And then after his back injury, he had very mediocre careers. So you could argue either way. You could argue because of the great years he had, he should be in. But because of the mediocre careers afterwards, he probably doesn't qualify.
He did receive 50% of the votes. You need 75 to get in through the... This is the first year of the Contemporary Baseball Era Ballot Committee. And so it'll vote again in 2025 for the 2026 Hall of Fame class.
Gotcha.
They're going to wait that long?
That's how long they're going to wait, yep.
That's disgusting.
What did you think of the Aaron Judge $360 million nine-year deal?
I thought that if he didn't sign back with the Yankees, he was out of his friggin' mind. That's what I thought. He came this close. Let me tell you what happened. He was flying out to San Francisco to sign with the Giants when Brian Cashman called Hal Steinbrenner on the telephone, and he said, "Hal, you better call Aaron and talk to him," because Aaron wanted 9 years and the Giants weren't going to give it to him and the Yankees were only going to give him eight. So Hal Steinbrenner got on the phone in the middle of that plane ride and said to Aaron Judge, "I'll give you your ninth year."
Wow.
So he signed with the Yankees. That's what happened.
That was like before you step off a curb and you step back up on and a bus comes flying by. That's what had taken place in New York City. That's
exactly right.
If Aaron Judge would have...
They'd have burned that stadium down.
Exactly.
Let him go to the San Francisco Giants. You know, Aaron Judge grew up in the
neighborhood, yeah.
And his favorite fans when he was a kid were Giants players. So it was not... And I'll tell you something else. That also during that plane ride out to the West Coast, the Padres were going to offer him $400 million for 9 years.
Well, and he turned that down?
He took less money to sign back with the Yankees.
And he'll be, they're talking right now, he'll be a captain, right?
Yeah, he'll be a captain.
He'll be the captain.
Now, as far as that captain title,
yeah.
And I was looking the other day, they named all of them. You know, Madeline was one, and of course, we know Jeter's. What are the qualifications? I mean, does the organization have to determine?
Got to be the guy everybody else looks up to.
Gotcha. So a guy of character and...
Munson. These are the people. Lou Gehrig. These are the people.
Babe Ruth was 1 year, 1922.
Babe was not a captain. I think Gehrig was the first captain.
Gotcha.
So what I did see, and I got a little false hope because of this, but Aaron Judge did come to the Bucks game wearing a Bucks jersey.
I was going
to
go there.
And I got a little excited. I know there was probably...
He wasn't coming to talk to the Rays.
I know, but there was a little spark of hope. Maybe, you know...
Here's what I think happened.
I heard the Bucks offered him $300 million.
I think possibly would have happened because TB12, Tom Brady... He's from the Bay Area, and I think maybe Aaron Judge came in. They might have had a little conversation about the Bay Area.
Nah.
Don't think so?
Tom Brady's not talking about anything but what he's doing for that moment. I'll tell you what. You want to talk football for a minute?
Sure.
One of the greatest
One
of the greatest freaking football games I've ever seen in my entire life. The Bucks played for the first, with about 5 minutes left in the game. They looked like the worst football team in the NFL. They were just terrible. They couldn't make a first down. They were losing, 21-6? 20-6. They were losing 20-6 with 5 minutes to go. And we're all going, this team is going to finish last in the division. And then Brady took them down for a touchdown. And then New Orleans, for some reason, couldn't get a first down when they should have gotten a first down and kicked. And Brady took them another 72 yards. Score another touchdown.
It was impressive. I have to say that.
That was unbelievable. That was absolutely unbelievable.
Any, what are some of the other, the trades that took place?
Oh, well, I was just going to bring
free
up
agency.
How this made, this makes Aaron Judge the highest average annual value for a position player in Major League history, breaking Mike Trout's record of $35.5 million a year by almost $5 million.
What'd you think about Verlander?
Smart move.
Does that make the Mets the favorite now in the National League?
Yeah.
Does it make them the favorite? Well, they lost one of their good pitchers as well, so they still may need to add one more pitcher. I don't know who's in their minor leagues, but it certainly that's a nice twosome.
Are you concerned about his age at all?
Never.
Really?
No.
That guy's a machine.
No. Yeah, what I don't understand is why you would give a pitcher more than 2 years. All these guys get hurt.
In today's world, absolutely, that's a very good point.
DeGrom was the best pitcher of them all, but DeGrom would pitch like half a season.
Now, there was conversation. Do you think there was any hope that we were going to get Jacob DeGrom here?
Oh.
I didn't either. I told everybody, I go,
please.
That's what I said.
I mean, we paid $40 million for this effort for Philadelphia. I was shocked.
I think we overpaid.
I don't understand that move at all. The guy's got bum knees, and I don't get it.
But is that the Rays front office and their scouting staff is smarter than anybody else's front office and scouting staff. So if this guy's got the talent they think they have, they paid $40 million for him, this kid is going to be terrific next year.
But what we don't have is a good training staff because they keep getting injured. And you bring a guy who's had routine knee issues, I'm a little nervous.
Ah. Well, that was one of the more brilliant responses ever come out of you.
Yeah.
Nah. Hey, I didn't expect that. But if you take a look at this rotation that they've actually are building, if everybody can stay healthy, the Rays have a deep rotation in 2023.
You're going to sit and watch a lot of strikeouts this year if you have membership season.
you're gonna be hammering that statement, that description.
I had the greatest seats in section 300 when they decided to do away with the 300s. I'm still incredibly annoyed about that. I want my old seats back.
Yeah, and you want to be a season ticket holder, not a member. Member sounds like Sam's Club or Costco.
Well, that's what people compare the stadium to, the doubters of how great Tropicana Field is. Some people compare it to the inside of a Sam's Club.
Oh, stop it.
Hey, no, I'm against it. I love the stadium. I think it's one of the greatest stadiums there is.
It is one of the greatest stadiums there is.
It's 72 degrees. It's perfect.
72 degrees, and you never get a rain out, ever.
See, we can be on the same team, Mike.
Well, I respect that. I still, that breaking news over Kevin Kiermaier, interesting. Any other of the, Turner went to the Philadelphia Phillies?
Yeah, I believe so. He went there.
Turner, you know, was a Ray for 5 minutes.
He was?
He started as a Ray, and we traded him to Washington for their fabulous catcher, who we kept for 2 years. Yeah, he was a minor leaguer in the Rays organization.
Well, that's one we let slip, but he's been in the league about 12 years.
You make enough trades, and every once in a while, somebody slips away.
Yeah,
that's what happens with prospects.
It looks like Longoria might be heading to the D-backs, the Diamondbacks. Longoria heading over there. They're looking to add a right-handed bat to balance out the lefty-heavy lineup.
Well, they have a horrible year last year, and I don't see them in a rebuild. Mo, this is a guy, his career's waning, right?
Yeah, they're still pining for 2001.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, I'd like to see Evan Longoria make a return home maybe for a season or two.
Yeah, nobody else would, though.
Well, my friend, when are you going to get a bite to eat? You're going back to the auction.
You're going to feed us.
Well, I'll feed you.
Yeah, you're going to feed us.
Okay, cool.
And then we'll go back to the office.
Yeah, go get Brittany.
We'll get Brittany and we'll get a salad.
Whatever you want.
Yeah, no, salad's good.
That'll be your Christmas appearance.
A salad. That's what we'll get.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for coming down.
It was a pleasure.
All right.
And don't forget, come down to Ferg's.
Exactly.
Well, I
promoted 1,000 times, but you live down here. And Brad Richard, come over and we'll get this high school wound down. And as the show's, we got about 8 minutes left. But thank you very much.
Don't forget, too, Thursday nights at Spurgs, they have trivia.
And this is one of the more successful teams right here.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
We came in second last week. Next week, we're shooting for first.
All right. That's our trivia team. That's our favorite trivia team. All right. Grab Brittany and get a bite to eat. They broke the mold of him, huh?
It certainly did, yeah.
He's hot on that members thing.
I am too. I was looking at it because I got super excited. I saw, you know, the Rays were tweeting about it. And I saw $500. I thought that was for a full season ticket. I was like, sign me up. I'll buy that right now.
Ridiculous. All right, let's let your Seminole buddy do his job, as I got a little behind here today. And of course, he's Brad Richardson. He's kind enough to come down and join us today on our holiday theme. The 10th, 2 weeks away from Christmas Eve.
Anyway,
there's a lot of high school things to go over, and you got some nice little snippets for the people who don't follow the sport, especially former Bucks fan. You got some information on a former Buck as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, just to give an update of things right now, as we all know, you know, football is winding down with high school and all. Just a real quick, you know, game to go back to. It was interesting game to see. First of all, Lakewood High, our good Lakewood Spartans, they lost to Central High School 31-29 on December 2nd.
Miami Central.
Yeah, Miami Central. Yeah. And then, of course, the big thing is that CC made it to the state championship. They were able to get there. Unfortunately, they lost to Champagnat Madonna 48-14. And I've seen Champagnat play back when they played Indian Rocks Christian, when Indian Rocks was a very big powerhouse. I mean, this team, they came out on the field and they just dominated. At one point, they had a small group of guys and they just, you know.
Yeah, you got out of Jacksonville. There's a Jacksonville team and a Miami team, and that gives you an indication of the depth of high school football here. And you've personally seen it, and I just shake my head, you know, looking at what happened to Jesuit.
Oh yeah, exactly. That was a shocker in that one. So, and actually, it's interesting. Another couple games that came up. These are, of course, out of Pinellas County, of course. Yesterday, you had Cocoa High School play Florida High School, and the Cocoa Tigers came out 38-31 in overtime. In overtime, they did. And with some of these games, actually, with the state championship, they're playing on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. Currently, right now, Trinity Catholic is playing First Baptist, and they're already in the second quarter, and Trinity Catholic is leading 3-0. So it's a good game. I mean, these are the last ones, and we'll see how they all go.
I was shocked at Lakewood score. I was shocked at the Jesuit score, because I know the depth of these programs. But again, it gives you an indication of the unbelievable talent in this state.
Yeah, exactly. And also on to football, just real quick. Obviously, we had the Pinellas County Senior All-Star Game. And South County, we're Seminole and all them, they won 36-28. I just want to give a quick shout-out to some of the MVPs from that game. Joey Key from Northside Christian was the overall MVP of the game.
I think he had a punt return for a touchdown.
Correct, yeah. And then Luke Yoder from Eastlake, he was the offensive MVP. Pinellas Parks, Cameron Canterbury was named defensive MVP. Marcus Galvin from Gibbs, he was named the defensive line MVP. And Clearwater High's Tyreek Tripp was named offensive line MVP. So always a good game to see. That was held at Countryside, I believe, is where that game
was. It was. And Coach Ryan Montgomery from Osceola and Augie Sanchez were.
They were there. Yeah.
Augie. They were coaches.
Yep, they were. Yeah. Go Augie. You know, first season, he was able to be out in the field and all that. So definitely a great thing for him.
He's making a name for himself already.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he, as I've said before about Augie, he just started. And he's got a long way to go. And obviously, seeing where he's taking, of course, the Warhawks, it's in a great direction. Great, great direction.
We got some breaking news on Northside Christian, too.
Yes, absolutely. This happened a few days ago. Mike Allstock, you know, head coach, he's decided to step down from being the head coach of Northside Christian.
11 years.
11 seasons. Yeah, it led him to 7 playoffs, which is amazing and all that. So, but yeah, Mike, he'd been there a long time. He was there actually when his son first started playing Griffin. And I saw him out there. He brought a big energy to that team and really revitalized the Mustang. So.
Oh, and when you lose a Mike Allstott, it's kind of like when Ben leaves Seminole.
I know.
when you lose someone like that, it's tough to fill those shoes.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a lot of things. You know, it's going to be a lot of things you have to do to fill in and really keep that legacy going, especially at Northside and all. So,
all right. So that's your Seminole gear and your hat. You going to do any basketball?
Basketball, no. They just started, and Josh Walker has his own guy that does that and all. But speaking of basketball, our dear friend, Ray Swetland, who actually is an assistant coach over at Calvary Christian, he had me announce the Buckshot O'Brien Classic at Calvary the week of Thanksgiving.
So how'd that go?
It went great. I mean, I'll tell you this right now. It's been years since I announced basketball. So to kind of get back into that environment, to get back into that, you know, what you can do and can't do while the play is happening, that was something for me to kind of get back into. But once I got through the first game, everything worked out. So, but yeah, I mean, the teams that were there, you had Calvary Christian, you had Gateway Charter, Alonzo Wharton, Northside Christian, of course, was there, IMG Academy Blue, and Providence School. So,
oh, so you saw some great ball.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at Calvary Christian, they had Daniel McGregor, Ace Taylor, and Dominic Saragumba. Northside Christian, Hayden McCain, and Skylar Skoll. Skoll is, of course, the head
coach. Doug's son.
Yes, his son, yeah. Now, the big thing that came out from that whole tournament in general, this is the best thing. So, IMG Academy came over, and of course, they have like maybe 6-7 basketball teams. But the big standout was this kid. His name is Olivier Rieu. This kid, 15, 16 years old, and he is, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, the tallest kid in the world for his age group and all that.
How tall is he?
7'6".
Does he just look like a freak out there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What do they do? Just lob it up to him?
Well, I mean, it's funny because...
Can anybody defend... What's he, same size as the toothpick?
Yeah, I mean, there was only
like Manute Bol. Remember that name? Manute Bol played in the NBA. He was Nigerian and he had a nice career.
I mean, the last time I saw someone, that was
7'6".
7'6". Yeah. I mean, I remember Taco Fall when he came over at one point. They were playing Lakewood and all at Lakewood. I mean, this kid was tall. He towered. That was the last time I really saw somebody that tall face to face when they're playing in the high school arena, of course.
So. Well, it's not like the three of us are giants here either.
Oh, no. Especially me. Ben, Ben's got a few
inches.
I got half a foot on you.
Oh,
yeah. Watch all out. Right. Well, any more factoids? What's great job of assembling that information. Any more factoids? We got about a minute.
Just about a minute. I mean, I know people have asked me if I'm going to announce Seminole and all that. Wait and see. Obviously, there's a lot of scheduling things. I would like to come back. Absolutely. You know, fall ball just got done with them. Seminole Nats did well. Look forward to seeing a lot. There's a lot of teams in the county we'll get a chance to see with baseball coming up. And it's going to be an interesting season for all in Pinellas County.
Are you going to do anything with Sunbash?
Sunbash, I just got to plan that whole thing out. So that's okay. Probably the biggest thing with them. So
I may be pulling you in for some play-by-play. We got sponsorship out of Body Armor, and we may do some play-by-play, and that's at Northside Christian, the 27th through the 29th. It's a 16-team invitational holiday tournament, and it's going to be a blast.
Oh, sounds awesome, yeah.
Fergs is behind it. And you coming down to see Mr. Christmas?
Yeah, I think we'll be coming down to see you out there, Mike. I'm excited for that. Next show, I was doing some research. I saw something interesting came across my notes here. There, MLB might have been using three separate balls during the season, favoring the Yankees, special events, and the postseason.
Really?
Yep. That it just came across my docket. It's a little paper from a Saber.
Sounds like something Georgie Steinbrenner would do. All right, for Tom Ryan, Marcus Pascal and the Largo Packers, Pete Young, Peter Gollenbeck, Ben Botham, No Show Ray Kennedy, Brad Richardson, Joe Berdrow, Big Ed, and Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.